Good morning, welcome to the weekend edition. Coming up on today's show, Donegal County Council launched a new Donegal tourism app and brochure this week. The brochure and the app extensively detail things to do and see in the county. Gay Byrne was there at the launch at Glenveagh National Park. I spoke to Gay Byrne on Thursday. We'll have that interview coming up on the show. Also on the show, you may have heard on our news yesterday the story of six-year-old Paul Doherty from Kildee Garden. Paul has been in America for a life-changing operation which is hoped to help him walk again. We'll have Paul's mother, Anne-Marie, on the show. Also, when you think of summer jobs, what do you think of? Well, we'll have Anthony Galvin, who is looking for a unique summer job in the Antarctica. And we'll also have 9-year-old Harvey Nicol from Limavady. He got injured playing football. He broke his arm a few weeks ago, and he got a letter from Tottenham Hotspurs. Good morning, Barry White sitting in for Greg Hughes today on the weekend edition again. We'll go through the newspapers first. The front of the Irish Independent: new school inspections turn up heat on teaching. A range of changes to the school's inspection regime has put teaching standards and management under increased scrutiny. Also, Adams has information on kangaroo courts. Taoiseach Enda Kenny has accused Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams of being well aware of the details IRA sex abuse and demanded that he present himself to the Gardaí. Speaking at the beginning of a six-day tour of the United States, Mr. Kenny launched a blistering attack on Mr. Adams and Sinn Féin over their failure to adequately deal with rape and sex abuse claims. Mr. Kenny accused Mr. Adams and the party of having information surrounding kangaroo courts, the use of safe houses by the IRA, and the movement of paedophiles in the Republic. And page 2 of The Independent: gardeners warned as conditions perfect for a slug invasion. Gardeners have been warned to watch out for increased slug populations devouring plants in the coming weeks after ideal weather conditions for the slimy pests. Slugs tend to survive in Irish gardens as eggs over the winter. Many will never actually hatch come the springtime, with frost usually killing them. But a milder winter has meant there is perfect conditions for them. Also, fans want Grand Slam send-off for Centurion O'Connell. Paul O'Connell will make his 100th cap against Wales today as Ireland go for the Grand Slam. And also in The Independent: animal sounds far worse than video images. Graphic scenes forced the judge to clear the court 3 times during the latest day in the Graham Dwyer trial. More on in The Independent then. Taoiseach calls on Adams to go to Guardian sex abuse. It's in the front page. It's also on page 6 and 7 in The Independent. We also go through the paper. No fairy tale ending for Tony McCoy at Cheltenham. Of course, the Cheltenham Festival was on this week. Tens of thousands appeared not to notice that the fairy tale ending they'd hoped for AP McCoy had not materialised. Their applause echoed around the Cotswolds as a simple thank you for all the thrills and body wrenching spills he endured over the decades of the saddle. Of course, Tony McCoy is retiring in a few weeks' time. He has been the champion jockey, I think it's 20 times he's going for it now this year. He only had one winner during the Cheltenham Festival, but the amount of winners he's rode over the years is still, it'll never be matched. In the Irish Times: coalition sees scope for more tax cuts. The government believes the acceleration in economic growth will provide scope to deliver a more ambitious tax and investment package in the budget next autumn. It's before the election. As the figures showed, the economy grew by 4.8% in 2014. An informed political source said the current official forecast for a 3.9% advance in gross domestic product this year was likely to be upgraded in the spring economic statement next month. The 3.9% forecast was set last October, well before the most recent declines in the euro's valuation. So the government are looking at tax cuts that would just... it would just come in right in time before a general election. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Wall paint proves a splash hit with Hamburg drunks. It is payback time in Hamburg's notorious party mile. It attracts some 20 million revelers a year, many of them beer-drinking men of weak-bladdered variety. Now residents of the St. Pauli neighbourhood, sick of staring their day away and with the biting stench of urine, have begun coating their walls with paint. Not just any paint, a high-tech coating that guarantees the urine bounces off the wall. a quirky little story, I would say. Coughlin tells of difficulty accepting his son as gay. Fine Gael Senator Eamon Coughlin has spoken this week about the difficulties faced by his son as a gay teenager and of his own challenges in coming to terms with his son being gay. Also, the Graham Dwyer trial is also in the Irish Times as we go through there. Ian Bailey case is also up, also in the Times. And a great voice lost to Irish radio as Tony Fenton dies, 53. Tributes have been paid to Tony Fenton, who has died after a long illness, aged 53. Fenton, who worked for Today FM for the past 11 years, was diagnosed with cancer in 2010. He also worked with 2FM, of course, during the 90s. The Irish Daily Mail, Ireland's rugby matches to be sold to pay TV. Fears are growing that Ireland's Six Nations rugby games will be sold to a pay-per-view TV broadcaster as the nation prepares to tune in to this afternoon's crunch match between Ireland and Wales. RTE presenter Tom McGurk warned that future championship games were most certain to be sold to a satellite or cable firm. Fans would then have to pay a subscription to watch their national team compete for future Grand Slams. While RTE and the BBC have rights to the Six Nations until 2017, talks on the TV rights from 2018 are due to begin shortly. I always thought the BBC and the RTE always would have rights to rugby, but it seems not. Is Brendan's big news anything to do with the return of Ray Darcy? Brendan O'Connor is to make an announcement to the Saturday Night Show tonight. Rumours were last night swirling within RTE as to the content of the announcement. They're speculating that he may step down and Ray Darcy may replace him. The Saturday Night Show is not really a show I ever watched, to be honest. Would Ray Darcy be better than Brendan O'Connor, or is Brendan O'Connor better than Ray Darcy? What do you think? Moving trucks at Gorse Hill as the O'Donnells face endgame. The O'Donnell family were packing up their belongings at their house in Gorse Hill. Well, their mansion in Gorse Hill yesterday, as the family won the right to stay there for another 6 days. Removal vans made their way in and out of the 7 million Vico Road property on Thursday, with items including office chairs, garden furniture, Christmas trees and a chest of drawers being loaded into different vehicles. Just go through the mail. There's not much else in the mail. Suppose that's most of the papers. We'll take a break and then we'll come back to the tabloids. You're welcome back to the Weekend Edition. We'll go through the tabloids now. The Irish Daily Star this morning. I can't explain. I know it's sick. The Graham Dwyer trial. We seem to be talking about this in the front of the tabloids every Saturday morning. What Graham Dwyer told Gardaí, it's in pages 4, 5, 6, 7. Inside the Irish Daily Star, pages 2 and 3, Furlong goodbye, tears as legend AP boys out. A lot in the papers today about the Cheltenham Festival, and the headlines surrounding the Cheltenham Festival are about AP McCoy, his last ever Cheltenham Festival. It was a tough day for the Irish at Cheltenham yesterday as punters were left washed out by a shock Gold Cup result when Conigree stole the show. But it was the final farewell of jump racing legend AP McCoy that brought them to tears when they witnessed his last hurrah at the track. It was a bittersweet moment for the record-breaking horseman, who ran out of luck in his final race. Then they find himself presenting the trophy for a race named in his honour to Tom Scudamore, who rode next sensation to win as the Antrim man finished fourth. Afterwards, McCoy admitted having mixed feelings about the end of his Cheltenham career, but said he was delighted with the reception he got. McCoy, obviously, the final race at Cheltenham yesterday, it was, what was the name of the race? It was named after him anyway. And he was on the favourite, but obviously he didn't win the race. He was favourite to win, but I think he finished fourth. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Detective says case info leaked. Officer was fuming at the time. Graham Dwyer told Gardaí he could not explain why he went on websites showing women being strangled or stabbed. And he added it's sick, his trial heard yesterday. More on that trial on pages 6 and 7. Page 8, Irish Marine dies in copter smash. This is the Irish-born US Special Forces Marine who was one of 11 killed when a Black Hawk helicopter crashed off the Florida coast. Staff Sergeant Liam Flynn from Beganstown Clean, County Kildare, died along with seven Marines from the 2nd Special Operations Battalion of the Marine Corps Special Operations Command and four soldiers with the Louisiana National Guard. The married father of one was in the chopper when it came down in the sea in foggy conditions during a training exercise on Tuesday night. Tragic story there in the United States. An Irish Marine dying in a plane crash. Lucinda's Renew Model Army. Rebel TD Lucinda Creighton has vowed that her new party, Renew Ireland, will see several of its members elected to the Dáil in the next general election. After months of planning, the ex-Fine Gael junior minister finally unveiled her new political group yesterday and insisted it will be a force for change in the country. Renew, which means new era in Irish, includes her husband, Senator Paul Bradford, as well as TDs Billy Timmins and Terence Flanagan and financial guru Eddie Hobbs. Eddie Hobbs and Lucinda Creighton were on the Late Show last night. I'm not sure if anybody's seen it. I didn't see it myself, but I did hear Terence Flanagan's interview with Mary Wilson yesterday on Drive Time in RT. It was quite an embarrassing interview. I don't know how to explain it. He just got completely stuck for words every time Mary Wilson asked him a question. He hemmed and hawed, and he didn't seem to know anything about this new party, and you just think that he should have been a lot more better prepared if he was going on to talk about a new political party on a national radio station. I almost felt sorry for him when I heard him speaking on RT yesterday. That's the Daily Star. In the Irish Sun, the story of the Irish-born American Marine who died. It says Black Hawk Down is the headline, a first pick of the Irish Marine in a helicopter crash. His family say he died doing what he loved. This is the Irish Marine killed in a helicopter crash during a training exercise off Florida. Staff Sergeant Liam Flynn from Clean in County Kildare and six other Marines and four soldiers died in Tuesday's Black Hawk tragedy. Also in the papers, more about Renew Ireland in the Irish Sun. Oh, who knew it? These two high-profile ladies had the same taste in clothes. Lucinda Creighton stepped out in this white zippy number to launch the Renew party at the Science Gallery in Trinity College yesterday. Meanwhile, just up the road in Dublin's Fire Restaurant, former Progressive Democrat Liz O'Donnell was wearing the same dress. So the Sun are making comparisons between the Progressive Democrats and this new party, Renew. It also says that Creighton pledges open approach in new government. Fine Gael rebel Lucinda Creighton has unveiled her new Renew Ireland party at a launch in Dublin after months of secret planning. The ex-European minister plays the new open approach to politics and said the Taoiseach could not depend on her support. So that is the new party, Renew Ireland. What do you think of this new party? Would you vote for them? I'm not sure even though. I don't think we know if anybody from Donegal is going to run. I was making a few calls yesterday, and as far as I'm aware, there's no elected councillors. None of our elected independent councillors will be joining Renew Ireland anyway. And finally, we've got the Irish Daily Mirror today. Clarkson called producer a lazy Irish, well, bleep. Jeremy Clarkson called a Top Gear producer a lazy Irish so-and-so before hitting him in the face. A BBC inquiry will hear Oisin Timmins had to be taken to A&E. He has consulted his lawyer. So we'll go on to the rest of that story on pages 4 and 5. Clarkson ranted for 40 minutes, then punched him in the mouth. He was bleeding and dizzy, so he had to go to hospital. That's the story of Jeremy Clarkson. It's been all over the newspapers this week. Jeremy Clarkson threatened to have producer Oisin Timmins sacked before he punched him in the face during a 40-minute rant over a missing meal. His inquiry is to be told. The Top Gear presenter allegedly ripped into his stunned colleague after arriving by helicopter at a hotel from a pub where he had been boozing for several hours with co-hosts James May and Richard Hammond. I don't, what do people make of Jeremy Clarkson? He seems to be in trouble a lot. He still has his job. He earns, is it £3 million a year? He's very well off, but he still has this high-paid job. I think I would have to use banned language to explain what I think of him, but not everybody agrees with that opinion, because there's 800,000 people have actually signed up for a petition to get him reinstated to BBC. There's no doubt that Jeremy Clarkson splits opinion. Also in the papers, more on Lucinda's new party, Renew. Lucinda names new party after boiler repair service, it says in the Irish Daily Mirror. Lucinda Creighton unveiled her new political party yesterday, and it shares the same name as a boiler repair service and a band in Cork, a Donegal shop, and a mental health centre in Athlone. So Renew is the name of abandoned Cork, a Donegal shop and a mental health centre in Cork, as well as a boiler repair service, according to today's Irish Daily Mirror. Creighton unveiled their new political party yesterday, and it shares the same name as a boiler repair service almost 3 months after it was first announced. The former Fine Gael minister finally reviewed the latest force in politics. The latest force, I don't know if you can call them a force just yet. Also in the Daily Mirror, I know it's sick, Graham Dwyer, more on that trial. We won't go into details because it's just that some of the details are pretty gruesome, as was found over the last few weeks. And also in the Daily Mirror, more on the Cheltenham Festival. Fool's goal, punters despair as shock Gold Cup ends festival in a high for bookies. A shock Gold Cup result left smug bookmakers ahead after an epic week at Cheltenham. Did bookmakers end up ahead this week? I don't know. Willie Mullins had, did he have 8 or 9 winners? I would say a lot of punters would bet Willie Mullins' horses. Conagree, he wasn't exactly a shock outsider either, I would say. He ended up 7-1, so he was third favourite, I think he was. It was a very impressive performance for anybody who is interested in horse racing. He led from the very start, and he was very, very, very impressive. Anything else in the Daily Mirror of note? There's not much else. I'm trying to see more tributes to Tony Fenton, and no, that's about it. We could look at sports pages, but more in the Premier League matches. A lot of the sport is Cheltenham, and of course we have the Ireland Wales rugby match today. They're going for the Grand Slam. But that's all from the newspapers. We're going to take a break now. Coming up after the break, Donegal County Council launched the new tourism app and brochure this week. The brochure and app extensively details things to do and see in the county. There are lists of beaches, golf courses, surfing locations, cycling, walking, hiking routes, and plus much more on the app. The app also updates news and events in County Donegal on a daily basis, and the app can be downloaded on the App Store or Google Play. The launch was held at Glenveagh National Park on Thursday, and Gay Byrne was the special guest. I spoke to Gay Byrne on Thursday, and we'll have that interview in full next. But first, we're going to take a commercial break. We're here in Glenveagh National Park for the launch of the new Donegal tourism brochure and the new Donegal app. I'm here with legendary broadcaster Gay Byrne. Is it okay to call you a legend? I think it is.
I suppose it is at this age, yes, yeah. You can call it. You can call me anything you like, because I've been called much worse in my time, so it doesn't much matter anyway.
And you were kindly invited today to launch this app and launch this brochure. We have it here in front of us. It goes into extensively detail all the great things to do, all the great places to visit in this county. It's quite a brochure.
It's a beautiful brochure, and there are superb photographs of every pastime and every activity that you could possibly wish to know about in the county of Donegal, and they are superb photographs, and it's well put together, and I think the people will be delighted with it just looking at it. And it may, and the whole point of the brochure is to encourage more and more people to think in terms of Donegal, if they haven't already done so, to think in terms of Donegal, A, for a holiday, or B, at least for a visit.
And suppose looking at the brochure, there's a lot to do in this county. I'm from here, and I haven't done half the stuff.
No, well, nobody has, because a lot of the concentration is on young people, and now that I'm the age I am, and I've noticed that there is a great market in older people, retired people, who have the time and the inclination, and many of them have the money to indulge little breaks and little holidays, and to try to encourage them to come to Donegal. And they are not the people who will cycle or rock climb or surf or kayak or whatever, but they are people who want a nice time. And what I was trying to accentuate in my presentation of the brochure this morning was that the Donegal people are renowned for their friendliness and their warmth and their welcome, and let the password be, as far as I'm concerned, just smile. And we don't tend to smile all that much at each other, and that's understandable, but we smile and we welcome people to a greater extent than a good number of people of other nationalities who are not as adept at it as we are. And we have a natural kindliness about us, certainly in Donegal, and we have a natural friendliness about us, and that's all people require. They require a smile and a welcome and a how are you doing, are you all right, is there anything we can do to help you, are you having a good time, that kind of thing.
And just looking at the brochure, there's walking, golf, fishing, angling, there's a lot to do, so you come here once, you'll come again.
Well, I've tried all of those things. I've done my walking. I've tried my golf. Didn't catch on to that at all. I've done the bit of angling and the bit of fishing, and the mountain climbing and all of that. And that is all here in Donegal. And certainly, if you're young and fit and active, you should give it a try. We are just back from Tenerife, for example, for the first time ever in my life, and I saw people trying to surf in Tenerife, and the waves were, to my mind, and I'm not a surfer, but I've seen surfing and I'm reasonably experienced in it, but I've seen surfing and these waves were pathetic. If these people in Tenerife ever saw the waves off Donegal or indeed off North Mayo, they would die of fright. They are such beautiful waves. So all of those things are available. All of those things are going on all the time in County Donegal. The point is to get more and more people to realise that.
And there is so much to do here, and you've been coming here for a long time now. How did the association with County Donegal and Gayburn begin?
Well, I told the story in my presentation this morning, and I just happened to be friends of a guy who was left a house here by a wealthy aunt many, many, many moons ago, and Kathleen and I started to visit at that time to him and his wife and children, and the friend of his said that there was a little cottage up the way that was for sale and nobody wanted it, and he persisted with this with me, and I said I didn't want any house, I didn't want any place in Donegal, I hadn't got the money to buy anything and go away and leave me alone. But he persisted year after year. That little place is still for sale and it's really intended for you, so that in the end I just caved in and I bought the place, and that was the start of me coming to Donegal.
And you've come back year after year?
40 years, yes. I wouldn't be as great an ambassador now as Daniel, who is out on his own in forwarding the case of Donegal, and he has done a terrific job. But I don't mind being second fiddle to such a great ambassador for Donegal.
So what was it that attracted you back year after year? What is it about County Donegal?
Well, I suppose the fact that we came, first of all, to visit friends, and in visiting them, we already made contacts and we got to know people and so on. And then when we bought the little cottage, it was a little barn, and it was a little door in the middle and two windows. And it was in doing things, trying to do things with that to make it more habitable, that we came increasingly, and that's how we got to know more and more people and just drifted into it.
And what do you tell people when you go back home? Is it Howth? You live in Howth?
Yes.
What do you tell people about Donegal when you go back to Howth?
Well, we tell them about the place and the wonders of it, and the great complaint we get from most of them is, well, it's very far away, as was said in the presentation this morning. Well, the answer to that is very far away from where? And the fact is, it's not any further away than West Cork or Kerry or any of these places. In fact, it's much closer than that if you actually made the effort to find it. And we find it quite close because we're used to the trip. We've tried every way there is of getting to Donegal from Dublin, and we know the favourite ways and we know our own favourite ways, and it's not any further than any of these other places from Dublin.
Is that the biggest stumbling block for tourism here, is the myth that it is far away?
Well, a lot of people seem to have that impression, and it's part of our job to break down that impression and prove that it's wrong.
And with this app and with this brochure now, we're going to see tourism grow and grow and grow over the years now.
Well, already the signs are good. The signs are good nationally. The signs are good locally. The signs are good county by county. And already year on year, the percentages are growing for Donegal. And let's hope that continues.
OK, Mr. Gayburn, it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Gayburn there, who I spoke to at Glenveagh National Park on Thursday. He's a very nice man indeed. And anyone who hasn't seen the brochure should get one. There is loads in it. Actually, when I was looking through the brochure, I was just thinking, and there's loads I haven't done in County Donegal, and I would say people are the same as well. There's so much to do in the county, so if anyone can get their hands on the brochure, they should do, or they can download the app. As I say, the app can be downloaded on the App Store or Google Play. They went into a lot of detail. It's a very good app indeed. It's very impressive, so people should download it if they get a chance. It's free as well, it must be added. A few texts coming in. Does Gayburn still ride a bike on the Key Road? Well, obviously, I've had a knowing that, I could have asked them, but obviously that interview wasn't live. Also, just a few requests. Hi, please play a request for Grace Caffrey from Kilcar and Mark Shovlin from Ardra, who are getting married in Killybegs today. Enjoy today and wishing you both a lifetime of happiness. And happy Mother's Day to her mum, Margaret O'Donnell, and Glenn McQuinn from all the family and grandchildren. We love you loads. We're going to take a song now. This is James Bay, Hold Back the River.
Try to keep but life got in between. Tried to square, not be in there, but said that I should have been. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and see where you hide. Hold back the river, hold back.
James Bay, Hold Back the River. Coming up next, we're going to have 6-year-old Paul Doherty from Kildegarden. We're going to have his mother, Anne-Marie, on. If you were listening to our news bulletin yesterday, you would have heard the story of Paul. Paul has been in America for a life-changing operation, which is hoped will help him walk again. Paul's mother, Anne-Marie, will be joining us on the phone next. But we'll take a commercial break and then we'll have Anne-Marie on the line. On the line now, we have Anne-Marie Doherty from Kildegarden. Now, Anne-Marie, you're joining us from the United States, so thanks. Good morning or good afternoon at the minute?
Well, it's good morning here, so it is.
Good morning, same as us.
Anne-Marie,
you're the mother of 5-year-old Paul, who was born with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. Now, a lot of people would be familiar with Paul's battle and Paul's story already, but just for our listeners who don't know, just tell us about Paul's story.
Well, Paul has, as you said, spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. And what that means is that he's mostly confined to a wheelchair. He can't walk, he can't sit unaided, he can't, he wouldn't be great with his hands either, you know, lifting stuff or whatever. But since Paul could talk, first of all, he started to sing when he was a baby, you know, and the next thing, he started to talk. And he always said, "Mommy, I want to walk. Mommy, I want to walk." And every time he said that, we used to take him out of his wheelchair or his car seat or wherever he'd be sitting and put on some music. And he used to dance or he used to jump about the place or he used to take steps without, you know, us helping him to walk, really. And, you know, he's full of life. And I always say he's full of development. He'd buy and sell you. He's so funny and so witty in some of the stuff that he comes out with. But his dream has always been to walk.
I suppose a lot of parents, though, would maybe have thought or conceded that their son was never going to walk. But you always thought, no, we're going to have a battle in our hands here for Paul to walk.
Well, I did. And we went through everything, every kind of thing that we thought would help Paul, you know, that was available. Paul would have had Botox injections, which are very painful. And they kind of released the muscles a wee bit in his legs, which allowed him to sit in his tractor or whatever and be pulled along you know, or we also had a medicine that he used to take, you know, and it was quite a lot, 10 mil, maybe three times a day to help relax his muscles. But taking medication and having Botox injections, they had other effects on Paul. You know, imagine for any child to be able to ride their tractor for 6 weeks and then all of a sudden the Botox wore off and he wasn't allowed, or he could, not that he wasn't allowed, he couldn't actually get back on the tractor again. And that was very heartbreaking, you know, for us and for Paul. You know, he couldn't understand why he couldn't get back in his tractor. You know, the medicine that he took as well kind of inhibited, you know, his potty training, because it relaxed every muscle in his body, but we didn't want his bladder muscles to relax. So we looked in and we looked over at the Peto Institute in Hungary. And last March we went over there, and it's not physiotherapy, but it's a program that was developed over in Hungary for children with cerebral palsy. And it gives them huge strength, and it really focuses on their movements and day-to-day living. And we found that very, very good. So with all of those things done, and of course, social media and internet, things come up, but lots of things come up that wouldn't be suitable. But this one thing kept coming up and kept coming up and kept coming up. And this was the selective dorsal rhizotomy, which was done here in St. Louis, in Missouri.
This treatment in Hungary, this treatment in St. Louis in America, it costs a lot of money. And you and your family have helped Paul's battle by having fundraisers.
We did. And I can't say we and the family, because the amount of support that we have got, and Kellygordon, Balbofleister Norder, Letterkenny, Donegal, Ireland, Spain, Australia, America, you name it, we have had donations, people doing fundraising events for us. People I don't know used to message me on the Facebook page, can you come down and collect a cheque? We did something. Or the support that we got, everybody seemed to have taken Paul's story to heart, you know, and really just said, right, we're going to do this. I suppose Paul would have been out and about in the town and people would see him and they know him. And I suppose, you know, they could see me and see Michael and see the other kids around about the town. They could see, you know, Paul. You know, they could see where their money was going to be going and what, you know, where their help was going for us as a family, you know. And, you know, even my own son Luke did a triathlon, and it was, he came up with this idea himself. He swam and he towed Paul in the swimming pool. He cycled and he towed Paul behind him, and he ran and he pushed Paul in the wheelchair to raise some money for Paul, so which was fantastic, you know, for, he's only nine. You know, so that kind of thing was going, it seemed to have rippled everywhere, and we got so much support. And then, of course, Daniel O'Donnell did dance for us then on the Villa Rose at Christmas, and that really, really boosted the funds and really allowed us just to take a breather and say, yeah, we've got the funds for America. And not only that, but we've got a good lot of the money taken now for the post-operative physio as well.
So how much has been raised, and just how important has this fundraising been?
Well, so far we've raised 91,000, which is, and we only started, the very first fundraiser we did was the Donegal Dublin game at the end of August. And by Daniel O'Donnell's dance, we had 89,000. And that's such a short time, but we couldn't believe it. So the operation costs then, of course, went straight out. And then we had a slight glitch over here that Paul had to be, whenever Dr. Park, that's the surgeon here in America, he's seen Paul through video evaluation, MRI scans, everything had to go over and Paul was accepted. But then whenever he's seen Paul in Missouri, in St. Louis here, he felt that Paul would benefit, number one, for a bigger operation and a secondary operation to loosen his hamstring muscles and his heel cords. So Paul just went through an operation there 7 days after his spinal surgery as well. So the money dimension operation costs in America, of course, it's quite expensive. The healthcare here is very expensive. But I have to say the care and the treatment that Paul got here has been fantastic.
And you're in the United States now. How many operations has Paul went through so far?
He's gone through two. One on his spinal cord, and that's a selective dorsal rhizotomy. And he went through, unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the other, but within that operation that they did, but they did another, but in that operation as well, to just give him more flexibility in his legs. And what they do in this operation is that they opened up his spinal cord. They took out all the nerves that are running down to his legs that were being overstimulated, and he would have tested them all and then cut these nerves that were overstimulating his legs. And then a week later then, he had surgery on his heels and surgery on his knees. Because cerebral palsy, what it means is that children or whoever would grow up, their bones would grow, but their muscles, because they're not being stretched or they're not getting enough movement every day, their muscles don't grow as quickly as their bones. So that, you know, if they end up with kind of bent knees or crooked ankles, or and they get movement and early, or the younger the child, the better, gives them a lot more range of movement. And it actually avoids any of this post-operative surgery on their hips or whatever they would need later, you know.
And going through operations at such a young age, is it sore on Paul? Is it painful?
Well, it had to have been, you know, but he's never shown it. I'm amazed, and I'm his mother, and I am amazed at what he's gone through and how well he's coped with it. I mean, you know, spinal surgery is a huge operation. He was in theatre for 4 hours and 20 minutes. It's a huge operation. He smiled, he laughed, he giggled, he sang. Now, he was very sick afterwards, but to put that down to anaesthetic, you know, he was quite ill, as in vomiting ill, you know what I mean? But apart from that, he was great. You know, and, you know, the therapy dogs coming in to kind of take the children's mind off it. They would come into the bedside, and Paul's face just lit up when he seen these dogs coming in. They had TVs for all the children that came right down in front of them, because the children had to lie. He'd lie on his back for 3 days, and I thought, this will never happen. But they had so much there for Paul that he was able comfortably to lie on his back for 3 days. That all the DVDs that you could think of for him to pick from. As I said, the therapy dogs, they had play therapists, volunteers came in, and they give toys to the children, and they might have just sat down for 10 minutes and played with them. You know, everything just to keep Paul going. And Paul's personality just, I don't know what he has. He's got some fighting spirit in him that, you know, he did not falter. He just went through this. It had to have been sore, but he never said to me, "Mammy, I don't want to do it," or "Mammy." No, he had it in his head he was going to walk, and he knew that this was going to help him.
Yeah, and I was going to say to you, he sounds like a wee fighter, and it seems like he is very determined to walk. So it seems like he knows this is going to be worth it in the long run.
It is. Oh, definitely. Like, I couldn't believe it. The day after his knee and heel cord surgery, the hospital knew we had a physiotherapy appointment at 10 o'clock that morning. We were discharged for that physiotherapy session. Now, this is after heel cord and knee surgery. He was down doing leg presses with two casts on his legs from his toes up to below his knees, doing leg presses on the machine. You know, he was rolling on the bed. He was trying to do press-ups as well on his hands. You know, I'm astounded by what he can do. And the difference in his legs, I have to tell her, the difference in his legs since operation is amazing. Even Paul, I asked him, what did they feel like? And he said to me, "Mammy, they feel like wobbly jelly." So that's how his legs feel. But now he has to build up his muscles and his legs to allow him to be able to stand and to walk.
So how many more operations does Paul have to go through now?
Well, hopefully no more. Hopefully this will be it for Paul. He tells me anyway he's never going back into hospital again. So I'm praying that'll be his, you know, that'll be right. Because we've got... Paul was given this opportunity at an early age, and hopefully by the end of the 2 years that Dr. Park said that he would be able to walk with crutches or a walker, but be ambulant on his two feet, that actually reduces the chances of Paul needing any further surgery, because he's going to be up and about. He's going to be using his muscles correctly. You know, he's going to be able to do a lot more things that sitting in the chair he's not able to do. So I'm hoping, and I do believe, that Paul will not require any further surgery.
So now it's going to be about rehabilitation, strength and conditioning?
It's rehabilitation and strengthening and just teaching Paul. It's like somebody described it, it's like teaching a baby to walk again. They have to learn how to do it. The brain has to be retrained on how to get the connection back from the brain down the spine and back down into his legs to be able to teach him to walk again.
And what would it mean to you, Anne-Marie, to see your son walk again?
Oh, don't, I'll cry. You know, it'll just be fantastic. And not just, you know, for us, surely, but for Paul. I mean, it's always been his wish to walk. And to see him, you know, even to be able to walk around the house, he'll never do a 5K. Now, he might surprise me because he surprised me some, so I'm never going to say that again. But he might do a 5K. But even to get up and to be able to go and get himself a cup of tea, to be able to walk from, say if he's in the classroom, then they're going to the library, that he's able to walk from his classroom to the library rather than need somebody to push him. You know, for his own independence, it's just going to be fantastic. Like, I always say, it's okay for me to take him to the bathroom now or to help him in the shower. He's only, well, he's six now. He had his birthday here a few days ago. But, you know, when he's nine, he's not going to want mommy to do it. He'll want to be able to do that himself. So we're giving him every opportunity to be as independent as he possibly can.
If he is able to walk in a few years' time, it's an inspirational story, because I would say a lot of people in a similar position to Paul have conceded that they will never walk.
Do you know this? I know I always say that I do this for Paul, and I do it 99.9% I do it for Paul. But I've kept the whole story going, because there was one day I was driving down the road and I got a phone call from a woman and tears on the phone. She never heard of the operation. She never knew of the operation. Her son is of similar age to Paul. He's got a similar diagnosis to Paul. Then a few days ago, I got a message from a woman in Australia. Her niece is same diagnosis as Paul. She was told that the operation wasn't suitable for her niece. You know, there are lots of other children and young adults that are out there that maybe don't know about the operation. And I'll always say that we were the first in Donegal to fundraise for this operation. We were so lucky with the support that we got. You know, we've been overwhelmed by everybody's generosity. Their good wishes on the Facebook page has just been fantastic since we've been over here. But always in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about, what about maybe the 10 other children that's maybe coming behind Paul, going to be from Donegal? I've no doubt that the people of Donegal is going to get behind those 10 as well. But it's going to be difficult for more and more children to avail of this operation. And that's why I keep just trying to keep Paul's story alive. For Paul, yes, that he can look back and say, well, gosh, look what everybody did for me. But it's always in the back of my mind, those other people. Maybe don't know about the operation. Maybe just have been a bit nervous and saying, right, oh, I don't know if I could put my child through that. I'm putting my story out there and Paul's story out there just to, the people can see, well, look, she did it, Paul did it, we can do it. Or else, gosh, there's a treatment there we didn't know about. But let's look into it.
And I'm sure
it's worth giving everything a chance.
Yeah, I'm sure Paul's story will give a lot of people a hope. Anne-Marie, when do you return from America then?
Well, we're not going to get home until, our flight, I think, is on the 28th of March. So we have got physio every day from now until then. So it's going to be a lot of hard work. He has his hours physio in the hospital every day, and then he has to do 1 or maybe 2 hours back at the hotel here as well of stretching those muscles and, you know, going up on his knees and putting weight on his legs. And, you know, he's doing a lot of work. He's very tired, you know, but he's smiling and laughing. Distraction is a great thing, you know, put a wee tractor, a wee toy in front of him and he doesn't know that you're doing half the work you're doing on him. But, you know, he's just taking it all in his stride.
And Paul, he sounds like a fighter. He sounds determined. I would say in a few years' time, a lot of people in Killygarden may see him walking to school.
Yeah, we don't live far from school, so that really would be the dream, you know, to see him walking on the lane to school.
Okay, Anne-Marie.
That'd be fantastic.
Thanks for joining us from America. I wish you and your family and Paul all the best. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thanks a million. Cheerio now.